founder, we're on a mission to democratize entrepreneurial education and on the way to building one of the largest online schools in the world for entrepreneurs. We interview some of the greatest founders of our generation to find out how they did it so you can too. However, in this series, we're working with our students in the community who are deep within the process of building their own successful business. These are the founders of tomorrow who have stood where you are and on the way to building the business of their dreams. Now, before we jump in, our lawyers have told us to tell you this. Of course, we can't guarantee you'll have the results like some of the stories we're about to share. And as you know, with any business, it's a lot of hard work in addition to completing any online course. With that said, welcome to From Zero to Founder. Hey guys, Molly here. This is another episode of From Zero to Founder. It's a very special episode today. We're sitting down with Grace Armstrong, who has made an incredible aromatherapy business called Begin to Arrive. This is a trigger warning for this episode. There is mention of loss of a child. Grace has gone through such great adversity and has done such incredible things for her business during such a traumatic time. And this is a really special episode, so I hope you enjoy it. But to begin, let's introduce Grace and hear more about her story. Hi, Grace. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story. Why not start by telling us a little bit more about yourself and how you came about creating this business?
Okay. Hi, my name is Grace. It's lovely to be here today and to be chatting with you. So my business is called Begin to Arrive, and it is all around aromatherapy. We specialize in 100% pure essential oils, as well as a game-changing diffuser that does not require water, cords, all that kind of stuff that you have to deal with water-based diffusers. So that's the business in a bit of a nutshell.
It's incredible, and I absolutely love that it's almost, like you mentioned, a game changer when it comes to essential oils, because it is almost like a little trend at the moment having essential oils and diffusers. And one thing yeah. I've definitely seen is it's kind of more about the aura, which I love about your brand as well. How did you kind of get into the whole business of wanting to start essential oil diffusers?
So it's funny you ask, because prior to starting this business or the journey with this business, I was not an essential oil user. I don't even think I had owned a diffuser before. So it kind of all happened when I had just relocated to Singapore with my husband for his work. And I was getting used to the humidity, the heat. We were always having to have air cons on all the time in small apartments because they don't have, you don't have big houses in Singapore like you do in Australia. So I was getting used to a smaller space, air cons, when you turn them off, there was muggy smells. I have a sensitive smell. I work from home, so I'm very much about my environment. And yeah, I just started thinking, you know, how can I effectively improve this disgusting smell in my apartment that I don't have a lot of control over? So I went out and I started buying all these different kinds of diffusers and aroma things. And I don't always go for a candle, because my mum drilled it into me from a young age. If you leave the room, you got to turn the candle off and you got to look after the candle, because otherwise you're going to burn the house down. So I'm kind of always like, I would rather just have that diffuser going and not have to worry about the safety of it than a candle. Also, Singapore, candles are quite expensive in Singapore, like everything else. I just went on this sort of journey of trying to find things to improve the quality of the smell in my apartment. And that's kind of how it all started, because at that same time that I was trying to improve the smell in my apartment, I started the Start and Scale course.
Incredible how you even came across this, because I think it's great that it came through a natural problem that you had. And my mum was the same with candles. Don't leave them on, you'll burn everything down. So I get really scared with them myself. And once you kind of had this idea of, you know, purchasing different diffusers and different things like that to try and help the smell in your apartment, when did it kind of click that you wanted to create your own business around diffusers and essential oils and things like that?
So I think in the first few sections of the course, where Greta's guiding you through trying to find, you know, your product, your niche product, it kind of just came to me that I wanted to create a diffuser that was as powerful and effective as a candle without the safety hazards of a candle. I wanted it to even look and embody a candle because, you know, candles are so relaxing and there's just something about that open flame and they're really strong and beautiful from the open flame, how they work. So I was like, how can I have a diffuser that looks like a candle, works as effectively as a candle, but is safer? And so then I kind of went about that journey of just diving into understanding everything about the candle industry, understanding everything about the diffuser industry. And that's actually where I started. I didn't even think about essential oils at this point. I was just obsessed with trying to understand, you know, everything that was on the market, what was missing, and then I guess how I could blend these two different markets together and provide that gap in the market.
And you've definitely gone about it a really interesting way with educating yourself and doing the research beforehand. And I think that's absolutely amazing that you've done that. And when you were discovering some of the limitations with candles, diffusers, and things like that, what was kind of the sticking point that you were like, I can actually make this better, both aesthetically and with how normal diffusers are used?
So I knew that if you eliminated the water aspect altogether and just used the pure oils, you would get that stronger scent. You would get that more powerful scent like you do from a candle. I also knew that I didn't want to go down the line of synthetic fragrances because there are a lot of studies behind it that link to things like headaches and cancers and pains in the bodies from these synthetic fragrances. Although they smell really good, some people have really bad reactions to them. So that's when I started looking into the power of aromatherapy and essential oils and trying to find just those 100% pure blends that literally just come from the plants, the seeds, the bark, whatever it's coming from. And it's like cold press processing, no chemicals are involved, because it was important that if I was diffusing pure essential oils, they had to be like natural. Like I wanted to make sure that if I'm sitting in my office for 8 hours a day at home and I'm breathing in this essential oil, that it's good for my body. And that's something that, again, the candle industry, I think that they're trying to improve these synthetic fragrances that are in a lot of candles now that people are kind of waking up to it. And they're trying to use natural fragrances and things like that. So I, first of all, was like, it needs to be good quality and it needs to work as efficiently but better than a candle, and then also needs to be providing like a nourishing effect to people's bodies, to their minds, to their stress levels, even to the way that they relax and breathe. That's just how amazing essential oils are. So then I went looking and I actually started to develop and design my own version of what this diffuser is going to look like. And my husband's an engineer, so he was trying to give me some tips, and he was, you know, you'd maybe have to have like a fan in it and this and that, because the main thing we wanted to remove was the water element. And then we came up with this idea of what if we could just literally screw the entire bottle of essential oil onto the diffuser and turn it on and then just let it do its thing. So I was kind of lucky in the sense that I went about designing and trying to find a manufacturer that would be able to make it for me, again, through the guidance of the course. But on that journey, I stumbled across a manufacturer that was already doing it. So I was then like, awesome. I ordered all of their products, like every single sample that I could, again, to make sure I was going to get the best that there was currently out there. And if I couldn't, I would improve it to how I originally wanted it. And then again, they all came. I went about, I think it was like a 6-month R&D period where I had literally these diffusers on in every room of my tiny apartment. My husband would come in at the end of the day and he's just like, woof, like it just smelt like all these kinds of lotions and potions. And But yeah, and through that process, I found the Now Aura Diffuser, which is our best-selling product and what we started and launched with and our big point of difference. And yeah, it's a, it literally does what I wanted it to do. You screw the essential oil bottle to the diffuser, pop it in, turn it on, and just leave it. You set a timing frame, you set a timing, like, you know, you set it for either 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then it does its thing where it admits the essential oils like intermittently. So because they're so pure and strong, you don't actually need it running the whole time. And then it also has like a light up feature, which has like a warm LED glow like a candle. So yeah, that's kind of where we, how it all kind of came to life.
Yeah, it's such a process, but you kind of summarized it really beautiful just then. And I think it's really amazing how the course has helped you discover so many different networking relationships in terms of a manufacturer and getting more research done, which is really, really great. You touched upon before how there was a manufacturer that kind of had everything you're looking for. When you meant that, did you mean in terms of the oils or the diffuser itself as well?
So I actually came across exactly what I was drawing up and designing. It was kind of crazy in a way, because if that connection didn't happen and I did go about creating it myself, I would still probably be on that journey of trying to perfect just that product. And so I think by allowing yourself to not be boxed into, oh, I need to create something from scratch, and allowing yourself to search the world wide web and, you know, really appreciate China for the like the amazingness, I guess not the amazingness, appreciate them for what they have achieved and all that they offer. Because at the end of the day, you know, dealing with a manufacturer in China is not a negative thing. It's actually a really real positive thing. It's just like dealing with someone down the road. It's just I wasn't able to find my product down the road. I mean, I would have loved to, but that wasn't something I was able to do. However, I'm able to incorporate that in the oils, which I do literally get my oils made in my hometown of Perth, WA, down the road from me. So I'm able to be a part of that and you know, see that happen in my hometown while also getting my products from overseas.
Mm, that's a great collaboration between, you know, finding and using your resources that are available to you and kind of, you know, using the best of what you can. And I think it's absolutely incredible that you found someone that was already doing it and you were like, okay, I'm going to take this, I'm going to test it and see how I can reiterate it. And getting your oils made down the road is amazing. How did you discover that relationship?
So, again, that was actually a relationship that I already had with a naturopath in Perth who for a long time has produced her own skincare, food products, essential oils. She's done it all. And she has all the certifications to actually produce those safely and, you know, under all the laws and rules that she needs. When I was like, oh, I need essential oils, I just gave her a call. And from that call, she just started sending me all these essential oils to Singapore, where I would play with the different blends and we would chat and we would both, you know, use the blends in our homes to see what we liked and we didn't like. And it was really important that the blends complemented the essence of what the brand is all about. And we started with just the three blends, which again are the essence of the brand, which is Arrive, Revive, and Thrive. And so they were kind of what I wanted people to feel and embody when they were diffusing these essential oils. And that's why essential oils are so amazing, because you literally can blend these different scents and these different, you know, plant potions, essentially what they are, together to help people ground in the moment, arrive within themselves, relax. And then you've got another one, which is Revive, helping them sort of like get up in the morning, feel a little bit more like revitalized for the day ahead and revive them and, you know, give them that sense of, okay, let's keep going. And then you've got my Thrive, where it's like wakes you up, gets you going. It's citrusy, it's powerful, it's fun. And I think being really mindful of embodying the brand in every single one of my products has really helped people identify with them and connect with them really quickly and be comfortable straight away just purchasing. And then it also follows through because I really wanted to make sure that the customer experience, that's the number one thing. I can make a website look good. I can have a product that I think is good, but at the end of the day, it needs to follow through on that journey so that the customer is actually able to enjoy it, loves it, loves all those blends. And that's what I've been able to create, and that's happened. So yeah.
Yeah, you've touched upon so many great things just then. And one I really wanted to focus on first is your branding aspect, because when I had a look on your website, your Instagram, it's very clean, it's very polished, and it's the same sort of fluidity and messaging throughout your whole entire experience from start to finish. How did you develop your branding in terms of the colors you wanted to use, your tone of voice, and the relationships and that customer experience?
So I can't actually claim that because I went and got a graphic designer. Again, I understood from the start through Greta's guidance that I was going to be dealing with a luxury brand because of my price point. So I knew that if I wanted that to come across again online through just a website and my brand, I would need a professional to help me do that. So the brand kit was amazing that we go through building in the course. I put that all together myself, and then I went and got quotes from a few designers. Funny enough, they were all Australian based, and I found them all just through Instagram. And then when I found one that sort of matched with what I wanted as well as my price point, we just went ahead and I sent her the brand kit, and she was like, wow, this is amazing. This is all I need. I can just go from here. So that brand kit, literally, I just gave it to her. She came back and all of a sudden, boom, that was the brand. She did all the colors. I hardly even had to correct or, you know, do different edits because I was so clear on what I wanted in the brand kit, thanks to the course, that she was able to just go, cool, this is, I get it. I get your brand. I get what you're all about. And that's how we came up with all of our taglines. That's how we came up. She came up with the fonts, the colors, and it all needed to be very earthy because, again, our products come from the earth. And, you know, a big thing about our diffuser is that it's a long-term investment. It'll be with you for years. It's a rechargeable battery diffuser. So it's actually, in a way, more sustainable than if you were to buy, you know, hundreds of candles over the years, with the packagings and stuff ending up in landfill and also just water diffusers. Some people don't get much out of them. Some people get like a couple months out of them and then they have to chuck them in the bin because they're just not good quality. They're plastic and cheap. And so, yeah, she just understood. She created it for me. And then, yeah, we worked together and we developed the brand.
Hey there, Nathan Chan here, CEO and publisher of Founder Magazine. If you're enjoying From Zero to Founder and you want to learn from some of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation, then I highly recommend you also subscribe and check out the Founder Podcast. We talk to some of the most successful people on the planet to discover how they're building their businesses. So you can take a front row seat as we go deep and we learn from some of the founders of brands like Netflix, Dropbox, Reebok, and so many more, and how they built these companies. You can find the Founder Magazine podcast with Nathan Chan on all podcast platforms. Make sure you subscribe. All right, now let's get back into the show.
That's such a great story, and I think really important for those that are listening that, you know, there's some people out there that might go through an entrepreneurial journey by themselves and really create everything hands-on, but another way to approach it is by making great relationships and networking and finding those that can actually help you along the way so you can do it more efficiently and also give you time as well. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, you know, you spoke to me about personally, but we checked before you wanted to start this, but you have quite the interesting story, and you've had so much adversity come upon you in such a challenging time. Did you want to kind of touch upon to those who are listening how you kind of approach this adversity and it kind of helped you at a sticking point with your business as well?
So I know we're talking about the course, but I honestly could not rave enough about this course because, as you were saying, my journey has not been an easy one in the last, well, pretty much this year. So this course, I believe, I was always destined to start an e-commerce business. I knew that at the start of the year, I was like, I'm just going to do it. But as an entrepreneur and as having businesses in the past, I knew that, you know, if I could just get a roadmap, if I could just get someone that tells me do this next step, do this next step, do that next step, having experience, you know, I've got 10 years of business experience now. I was like, that would be so great if that existed for an e-commerce course, because then I can just go ahead, follow someone that's actually done it and has proven their method time and time again. And that's when I came across, well, I was actually getting spammed by you guys for a long time before that, which was funny enough, but I just kept it. I just like kept, you know, it in the back of my mind. And then I did more research into the course, obviously, when I then decided to start my e-commerce journey. And I realized, okay, wow, this actually does sound like exactly what I want. It sounds like that step-to-step guide. And it also sounds like I'm going to be supported on my journey as well through the community, the online community that you have, and all the resources that you have, as well as the course. So I pretty much followed it to a T, to be honest. And I decided from the start, so when did I start? In January, February, that I was going to go down the route of a 3PL or a fulfillment company. Because again, I was in Singapore. I didn't have a lot of space in my apartment. I wasn't sure how long I was going to be there. I didn't know where we were going to be going next. So I didn't really have the option of fulfilling the packaging myself. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to, it was as scary as it was, you know, it's actually quite a big thing to consider a fulfillment company as a small business, you know, it's just another expense. But I decided, no, I'm going to do it. And I understand that that's going to actually help me scale. Because again, with my experience in business, the more you can outsource, the better for you and the growth of the business. And if you can do it from the start, and if you can set it up properly from the start, then you're only just going to, I guess, support that journey of growth quicker. So I did that and I followed through and I set up a 3PL, and we actually used someone in Brisbane who, again, I found through the course, actually found the fulfillment company through the group, the Facebook group that we have. Yeah, long story short, I was pregnant during the journey of my start and scale course. So I think I got pregnant a few months into starting the course and building my business. And I guess that was another really important thing for me. I was going to become a mother and have a baby, and I wanted to also have this business and to be able to support all my customers and to support, you know, my goals and what I wanted to achieve with the business. So again, the 3PL was like, I need to do this because when I have that baby, I'm not going to have any time to be packaging orders and all the stuff that you need to do. In the end, it didn't actually work out that. It's not that it didn't work out. I unfortunately lost my beautiful baby girl at the 6-month mark. And that was quite a traumatic experience because it was a stillborn. So I had to still go through the labor experience. And this was literally only in September. So September was also the same month that I launched my business. We launched on the 30th of August, and really the only way, that same month I also had to fly home from Singapore to Australia to get some family and medical support because the pregnancy wasn't going so well and we weren't really sure which way it was going to go. So the same month I launched, I needed to pack up my entire life in Singapore, fly home. I had to do 2 weeks hotel quarantine. And I had to deliver my baby girl. So it was one of the most traumatic months of my life. But because I followed Greta's guidance and I set up my course, I set up my business the way that she suggested with a 3PL and, you know, outsourcing as much as possible, we were able to launch the business in that month, completely almost step away from it while we were going through everything we were going through. And we did a really great launch month. Like, it was amazing. And it's hard to even consider that through such an insane trauma, there was that positive little light glimmering in the background of the business. As well, like, I wasn't able to work. My husband wasn't able to work for a while. So that was, you know, just having that business ticking along and bringing in some income was like a huge, I guess it was just like a support to us during that time. So I hope I'm doing the story justice, but I guess what I'm saying is shit happens and life happens. And I think especially as female entrepreneurs and female business owners, we have to consider so much more, you know, of what, again, if we want to become mothers or if people already have children, we have to consider a lot more pieces of the puzzle sometimes than men do. So I think it's really important to, as you're building a business, to really think long-term and how you're going to manage things, because it's, you know, it shouldn't be all up to you to just manage everything. And if you can support yourself by delegating, getting a 3PL or a fulfillment company, you know, having a graphic designer help you on the branding journey, having a marketing team help you. And I know this all sounds expensive, but if you factor it into your pricing properly and you do the maths, it works out, and it just supports your journey no matter what is thrown your way.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, because you're such an incredibly strong woman, and to go through all of that adversity and still have such a positive outlook on both an entrepreneurial journey as well as just life in general, because as you said, it gets hard and it's very tough, but I commend you for being so strong, because it's life-changing. And thank you again for sharing that, because a lot of people listening, you know, might kind of consider, you know, that you would have stopped, and a lot of people may have just stopped, but you kept going, and it's a real testament to who you are. And
well, I wouldn't have been able to even launch if I didn't have the course supporting me and telling me to just go for it, get a 3PL, you know, this is how you can do it. And if I didn't have that support and that, you know, Greta just guiding me on the way, I wouldn't actually have been able to launch my business to this day. Like, I just can't even fathom how I would have been able to launch it if I was picking and packing and just all the things. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise. And it's now kind of my business is kind of my thing that I had with my baby girl, because she was with me every day through, you know, building it. And she kind of inspired the essence of the business, which is all about living in the now, living in the present moment. So people go, what does begin to arrive mean? And I don't know if you've ever done like an online yoga class or a meditation class, and the teacher always kind of says to you, now begin to arrive, like, in the present moment, in your body, you know, be there, be in the now. And that was kind of how I had to live every day with my baby girl, because when we got the news, I never knew when she was going to pass away. It was kind of like this touch and go thing. And I had to just cherish every second, every moment. Oh, I'm going to cry, that I had with her. And it's kind of like this beautiful thing now that she lives through the business with me now. So the goals that I have for the business and the things that I want people to feel when they have my product, it kind of is all just bittersweet now, because it's inspired by her, and I just want to achieve so much to honor her memory and to honor the time that I had with her.
Once again, such a courageous, strong woman to go through all of that adversity and still have the outlook that you do, and dedicate this business to your daughter as well. And I think it's so beautiful that it's a message that you continue to carry on throughout your ethos, your mission and everything like that, and a sense of being here and just living in the moment, because you never know what's around the corner. And I think it's even more beautiful to have this now, because it's meant to be where you are, I feel, and it's so lovely. But not to discredit anything that you've been through, but I feel like with your company as well, getting through it now, how have you been able to recuperate and recover from such adversity to keep going with your business and kind of approaching it this month, the next month, and so on?
Oh, so for sure, like support network, like, you know, family, like leaning for someone like me. I'm a very strong woman. I'm always like, I'll look at myself, I'll look after myself. But I mean, these things really ground you and they really just knock you for a six. And I've just had to like lean like 100% on my husband, on my parents, on my family. Again, like for sure, I can't, you know, when you go through trauma like this, I can't explain to people how important it is to just seek professional help. So psychology, you know, even just the hospital, my doctors, just really like stopping to feel, like just feel everything and heal. So there was a period where I kind of just got back on with the business and just like acted like nothing had happened, but I was in denial of what had taken place and I hadn't even started my grieving journey. And I guess just allowing myself to take every day or every hour as it is, and just go through the motions has been the number one way that I've been able to keep going, not denying myself of that or trying to push it away, and do things that I know is going to give me some kind of closure. Like, you know, we had her funeral just the other week, and just like honoring her life. And that's been able to kind of help me take that next step every day. But yeah, having the support network and having the outsourcing with the business, which again is like a support network, has really been just like a lifesaver, like a godsend for the business, for me personally, through what I've gone through. And did that answer your question?
It did, yes. And it's such beautiful advice that you've just given there. And I hope that, you know, others listen to it as well if they're ever going through these challenging times. But taking it back a little bit and focusing on, even though through all this trauma that you had, your launch was actually quite successful. And as you mentioned, it helped you kind of keep having that income for your family during such a tough time. I know it's important that you wanted to kind of mention this as well when having such a successful launch. So how did your launch actually go during such a difficult time, and how did your business perform and really help you through?
So I think my goal, I didn't go down the path of focusing on getting like a massive email list or audience on social media. That wasn't really, I didn't have the energy or the time around everything else prior to the launch that was going on to do that. So I just allowed myself to do the best I could. I think I had 200 followers on Instagram when I launched, and maybe half of those were family and friends. And I think I had something like 30 people on my email list or my VIP sign-up list, but I didn't get too caught up on having this like big launch and like a sellout launch, because that's not actually what I wanted. Because I didn't know what day to day what was going to happen in my life and with things that were so up in the air, I just thought, if I can just sell one a day, that'll be more than enough to just tick it along while I have no idea what's going to go on in my life. So I didn't focus on that big bang launch, and I just allowed myself to, I didn't focus on the big bang launch, but what I did focus on was launching with Facebook ads. And that's because I actually have experience in running my own Facebook ads for my other business, and also other clients that I've worked with in the past. And I knew that if I didn't have that big organic list and I didn't have a lot of an audience that in order to sell and for people to know I was there, I was going to have to incorporate Facebook ads. So I actually focused on just finding a marketing agency, again, that would fit my budget, that could just do me up a couple ads, that could just run for the first month or so, again, with me not knowing what was going to go on in my life and knowing that I couldn't physically manage those ads myself. And again, godsend that I did that, because we launched and yes, we had about maybe half the people from the VIP list purchase. And you know, when you get your first random person purchasing, like that's like a big yay. It's not just like your mum and your friend. So 1 or 2 weeks after launch, we launched the ads. And that was the thing that just kept us ticking along and kept bringing in that revenue for the first month. But I think just off the top of my head, I think we hit 10K in revenue in our first month. And that was with all the shit that I went through in my first month in September. And all I was able to do for the business was log on to Instagram every now and then and do a post. And again, most of the time I would schedule those, because I had no control over what my day was going to look like. So I was like, if I could just schedule a week or 2 weeks in advance, then I can just keep it ticking along. The ads are doing their thing. And that was kind of how I launched and how we were able to have that slow, steady, but somewhat successful first month.
I think it's really inspirational, as you mentioned, and a testament to, once again, you kind of making these relationships to help you in the long run. And I think it will just further catapult your business. And as you mentioned, yeah, September wasn't that long ago, and it's December 1st today, and you've had such great success. So since that first month and everything that you went through, how has your store been performing continuously? Have you managed to keep pushing those Facebook ads, posting a little bit more maybe on socials or growing those organic lists?
Yeah, so my main thing was if I can just continue to post once a day. So prior to the launch, I would try to do twice a day following founders' guidance. And then after the launch, I was like, if I can just get 2 or 1 posts out a day and stories to just keep in front of mind of people and hopefully help that organic growth of the page, of the Instagram page. So I focused on that while the ads were running. In the second month, we actually decided to swap marketing teams because, again, I always knew that with e-commerce, I was going to have to hopefully find like the perfect marketing team that would fit with me and my goals and my business and help us gradually grow, because again, I just wanted to gradually grow so we can iron out all the creases. So again, in that first and second month, you get to talk with your customers, you get to hear, you know, if they're having any pain points or if they're not understanding things that you thought would be easy to understand. You get to like tweak the information on the website, educate through your social posts. So you get to really understand how your audience is seeing you, how your customers are connecting with you, how they're using your product, enjoying it or not enjoying it, like what's going on. So I guess that's why I wanted to gradually grow. So again, I could make sure that I'm on top of making sure the customer experience is a positive one. So, you know, we had to develop a how-to video because we realized that people were so used to water diffusers that they couldn't, even though ours is easier, they couldn't quite figure out how to use it, even though you just screw the bottle on. So we had to do things like quickly film a how to set up your Oura diffuser video, and, you know, some sort of email templates from these questions that we would get again and again. Yes, we have the questions on our FAQ page, but people would still be like, you know, how long does an oil last? And, you know, just all these different things. How long's the battery life? So you get to kind of understand a little bit more how you're being perceived, and you get to, you know, improve on that customer experience to the best of your ability when you launch kind of steadily rather than like that big bang. But so in the second month, we moved from the original marketing team, who, again, I just wanted to help set up those few ads, but I wasn't sure that I was going to continue with them because I wasn't sure we aligned in terms of our goals. But yeah, I was able to find a new marketing team who have just been phenomenal. So as soon as they took over the overall online ads, so, you know, the Googles, the Facebook, all that stuff, I think we then did like double what we did our first month in our second month. And then in our third month, we almost did triple what we did in our first month. So it's really just been like this really nice growth, which is what I always wanted from the start. I mean, I didn't have expectations around dollar figures, but I just always knew I wanted that steady growth rather than the ups and the downs and all the really big bangs and then nothing. And again, because I had that intention and I put things in place, I've actually been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Such great insights here. I feel like a lot of people listening will have learned so much already. But one thing that, you know, I think is really important too, that you mentioned to me before we started recording, is how much of that profit actually is profit and what actually you put back into the business. And I think when you said that, it's so great, and I would really love for you to elaborate more on that, because, you know, some people might just say, wow, you've made triple what you made in the first month, wow, you're rolling it and everything's great. But did you want to touch upon more about how you've kind of learned to reinvest in your business to help it keep growing?
Oh, for sure. So it's all good and well to say, oh yeah, we've hit that 50k in the first 3 months of operation. But it's so important for people to remember and to understand that, okay, what was your initial investment? You know, we had to invest in our product to start with our own money. So what was your initial investment? We've actually made back our initial investment, which was huge. That was one of our number one goals, was to just make back our initial investment. So we've actually been able to make back our initial investment. And then with the profits, we have to now literally put all of that into our next order, because we're about to sell out of our first order of auras. So now we're like, okay, that's all good and well, but we've recouped and now we have to reinvest. And it's almost all of that money, because you've got to, you know, with the success, you've then got to do a bigger order. So you have to like factor in literally all your costs, bigger order, shipping's more expensive now, it's taking longer. You know, we've got marketing expenses, we've got all these things. So it's definitely not, oh yeah, I've just made 50 grand in my back pocket. It's like I've slogged away at this business for 10 months and not seen a dollar yet, but it's that journey of, okay, if you got your figures right from the start and you did all your calculations and you factored in everything to a T, like in terms of your marketing, your packaging, your fulfillment, your product, like just so everything you can physically think of that you have to spend money on for that sale should be factored in. What's your profit margin? How much are you willing to reinvest? And then how much can you pay yourself? So hopefully at that 6 month mark, we might actually be able to take a little bit of profit for ourselves. So that's exciting. But yeah, it's not just this one hit. Yeah, I made all this money. It's like, no, this now needs to be reinvested into our products, into maybe like editing and updating the website. We're updating our packaging. So that's a new thing that we want to do. So yeah, as much as it's exciting and it's a lot of money, it's still not essentially just our money. It's back into the business to keep that growth going and to get to the point where we will be able to take a bit of a profit.
Such great insights once again, and thank you for sharing that, because it is so true, and it's definitely something that's highlighted throughout the course, is to really think about those different expenses, which you've done amazingly. And you've touched upon it really briefly in working towards wrapping up this talk with you. You mentioned how in the next 6 months you hope to take some profit, you want to kind of redesign your packaging. What's next that you want to kind of achieve in terms of milestones for your business in the next 3, 6, 12 months?
Yep. So one of the milestones is we literally tripled the order that we had from our original order of products. We've gone and tripled it to get that in. And it looks like we'll be on the trajectory to possibly sell all of that within 3 to 4 months. We've already started research on a new and improved Aura diffuser, or another version of the Aura diffuser. We'll be launching 3 new essential oils, because right now we only have 3. So we'll be launching another 3 blends. We're looking into things like room sprays and shower aromatherapy, shower things. So there's lots of R&D in the background going on. But we're still just going to really focus on the essence of the brand, which is all about helping people ground themselves, stay present, stay calm, stay relaxed. You know, in the current climate, in the current world, everyone needs that little slice of relaxation. And I found that aromatherapy has really done that for me. So, yeah, simplifying the aromatherapy system and how people use it, improving it through these diffusers and through high quality oils. But yeah, it's really exciting. So we're hoping to move from just 4 products to having up to 8 or 10 within the next 3 to 6 months. And again, that means we've got to reinvest into the business. But yeah, it's really exciting. So that's kind of what we're looking towards, and hitting some big goals in terms of, you know, how much we're selling monthly and bigger orders and new products. And so it's really exciting.
There's so much to look forward to. And I really hope that we reconnect when you kind of hit those milestones and goals, because I'd love to speak to you more about that. Because as we've said, your company is so young and you've achieved so much, and you've shared so much great knowledge during this episode. But coming to my last question, and definitely one of my favorites, especially considering what journey you've had as an entrepreneur, as a female entrepreneur yourself, what would be some advice that you would like to share with anyone listening to this that might be in a bit of a tumultuous climate at the moment, or and wanting to start a business? What advice would you give to them?
I guess my favorite thing to say to people is start before you're ready, but also don't feel like you need to be a professional in essential oils or aromatherapy to start an aromatherapy business, right? Because I always believe that we need fresh ideas. We need fresh perspective of things. So never feel like you're not enough to sit at the table, because I feel like the world just needs these different perspectives, these different ideas. So I'm someone that had no idea about aromatherapy, about diffusers. But because I had no idea, I was able to come up with this whole new concept of what I wanted it to be, which is now something that a lot of other people out there also wanted from aromatherapy. They just want it to be simple, more effective, safer, better quality. So yeah, I just think it's really, the world needs these fresh ideas and these fresh perspectives. So never feel like you're not enough to be sitting at that table and to be launching that business, because you are.
Such beautiful advice. And I want to thank you, Grace, for sitting down and sharing with me your incredible journey and your incredible story. And I'm sure it will, help so many people listening. So thank you again for sitting down. And I can't wait to catch up with you in the future to talk all things Begin to Arrive.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And thank you so much for this course, being a part of this course, being a part of letting entrepreneurs share their journey and helping us just do better with business and look after ourselves better. So thank you.
Hey guys, we hope you're loving From Zero to Founder and you're getting a ton of value from it. If you want to access the exact free training that led today's founder to where they are now, head to founder.com or head to the link in the show notes.